Good morning. It is such a privilege to be in California. Talking about East Coast coming to West Coast. For those of you that don't know, Brother Joe already told you, I'm Jonathan Cook, and I pastor Old Carroll Primitive Baptist Church located in Point of Rocks, Maryland. And we flew out of Baltimore yesterday morning and flew here. And so thankful for our dear friends, Brother Barry and Sister Antoinette, and coming to meet up with us later. And good to see my good friend, Brother Lonnie, here. And Brother Joe, thank you for the invitation. We've rejoiced. We've rejoiced in coming here. I think my wife, who I'm so happy is here with me, Sister Carrie, she enjoyed watching my childhood giddiness as we flew over the Rockies and saw parts of little canyons and desert, things that I've never seen before. And so I just really, really rejoiced in that. The last hymn that you called this morning, Brother Joe, now this subject has been on my mind, but I wasn't intending on preaching on it this morning, but throughout this meeting, at some point, I thought about hitting on this topic. If you will, turn with me in the Gospel according to Gospel according to Mark, chapter 4. Verse 35. I think this is a subject that there's not a single person here does not deal with in their lives. And that's storms. Everybody in their life has to deal with storms. Well, let's look at how the Lord Jesus Christ dealt with storms. In the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 4, beginning in verse 35, the scripture reads, "And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Children of God, I want to declare unto you that storms can be small storms and storms can be great storms. There are small and great storms in our lives. And sometimes the storms can be so great that it will dim our vision. It will make us lose sight of even promises that's been given to us. If you notice at the very beginning of this passage, the Lord Jesus Christ actually does give a promise. Look at the beginning of this passage in verse 35. He said, "And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side." There is no question and there is no doubt that they are going to make it to the other side. Now, he didn't say that part of the way on the trip that there was going to be a great storm, and he didn't say that they were also going to die and drown in a shipwreck. It would be impossible because the Lord Jesus Christ was aboard that ship. But if you notice that the disciples became so fearful throughout this journey that they even lost sight of the promise of the Lord that he said, "Let us pass to the other side." You know what that tells me? That tells me even the faithful, even those who are stewards, very experienced fishermen, can lose sight of the very promises of God when they are clouded in judgment by storms that are around about them. And it's important to understand that even in the midst of the storm, that Jesus is still aboard the ship. Now, I want to tell you that I'm so thankful that it was the Lord Jesus Christ that said, "Let us pass to the other side." I'm glad it wasn't one of the disciples, but I'm glad it was the Lord Jesus Christ because his promises are true. Now, I'm so thankful that it wasn't man that said, "Let us pass to the other side," because man has been a failure from the beginning. He's always made the wrong choices, hasn't he? Go back all the way to the very beginning. Did Adam make the right choice? No, he didn't make the right choice. Look, when the Lord Jesus Christ was standing before Pontius Pilate, and who did the people call for? Did they call for Jesus? No, they called for Barabbas. Mankind has consistently, and he's been very good at it, of making the wrong choices. I'm so thankful that we have one who has made the choice for us. Now, the scripture tells us in the book of Proverbs, and I'm just going to flip real quick and say this. Sometimes I'll go quick, so if you want to flip with me, you can. And if you want to just listen, that's good too. But we find in the book of Proverbs, and it is stated two different times, found in chapter 14 and verse 12, "There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are always the ways of what? The ways of death." That is the ways of man. Man thinks he has it right all the time. Man thinks his choices are always the best choices. Sometimes we think we need to listen unto what someone else says over top of what the Lord Jesus Christ has said. Sometimes we base our choices based upon our hearts or what our heart feels. But I'm going to tell you that when we base it upon our feelings and upon our hearts, we're going to fall short because a man's heart is wicked. All right. So when we but when we trust in the one who has made the perfect choice, when we trust in the one who has his hand on the helm, and I'm so thankful his hand is on my helm. Have you ever seen the bumper sticker on the back of bumpers that says, "Jesus is my co-pilot"? I'm going to tell you, I disagree with that to a high level because Jesus Christ is my pilot. He is the pilot. He is the captain of my salvation. He is my all in all. It's in him that I live. It's in him that I move. And it's in him that I have my very being. I am thankful that we are resting in his work. We're resting in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is able to do abundantly above more than what we ever can imagine and think. As a matter of fact, we think that how something might come out, and we think that we know the right things to pray. The Lord knows what is better for us than we know for ourselves. I'm going to tell you that he even knows the very hairs of our head, and even mine. Did you know there's some hairs up here that you can't see? They're really fine. My wife can see them. So if you get really close, they're very fine. They're very little. The Lord knows every single hair that is on my head. That's how well he knows me. I'm thankful that I'm not resting in me. I'm not resting in my professions. I'm not resting in my statements, but I am resting in his finished work. Right. Now, let's just give a couple thoughts on this, and then we're going to go on to verses 36 and 37 in the main text. These are some very common scriptures that we all should be familiar with, but I'd like to hit this in passing, talking about how the Lord has us in John chapter 10 and verse 26. This is such a comfort when you feel like your world is spinning out of control, when you feel like you don't have anywhere else to turn. You need to understand he has you. He has you. He sees you, and he knows what you're going through. You cannot acquaint him with anything. He knows what you are in need of better than you know yourself. So John chapter 10, let's begin in verse 27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Those disciples that were asleep on that or those that were awake on the ship while Jesus was asleep. Jesus knew what they were in need of. He knew that the storm was coming. He knew everything that was happening, and he had them. And he has you. And notice the possessive pronoun that's used there. He says, my sheep. He didn't say someone else's sheep, their sheep. He said, they're mine. You belong to him. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And listen, the blessing of this. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Never. There's no way. Listen, we believe in eternal security, don't we? We believe in the eternal security of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no way that you're going to fall out of him. There's no way that you can, if you're sitting in the pew right now and you're thinking, oh, I messed up so bad in my life, there's no way he can get that one. I'm going to tell you, he's got you. There's nothing that's too hard for the Lord. Some people will say, well, I've done this and I've done that, so therefore I might as well give it up. I'm going to tell you, he loves you more than what you could ever imagine. I want to just take a little trip with me. The Lord Jesus Christ loves you so much. Number one, that he left heaven. All right, he left. He came, he dethroned from heaven. He came down here and became lower than the angels for the suffering of mankind. He came down here for you. Now listen, look how far he came down. He came down from heaven above. He came down to this earth, and then he continued to go even lower because he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But listen, that's not the end of it there. Even after he was crucified, he ended up as a corpse in the ground. He went from the highest of highs down to a corpse in the ground because he loves you. And child of God, on that third and noble day, he rose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. He is a death-conquering Savior. He is a death-conquering Savior. So he gives unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. Now, let's go back into the Gospel according to Mark, and let's look at the next verse right there. I'll flip back over here. There we go. Go back to Mark chapter 4, and let's take a look at verses 36 and 37. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. I want you to notice a few things here in this passage. First off, when they had sent away the multitude and they came onto the ship, there were other little ships that were there round about. That means that there were others in the vicinity that experienced this same storm. There were others that were there. There arose, and notice it didn't say a little storm. Notice it was a great storm. But in contrast, if you hold your finger there and you look and you notice on verse 39, it says, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. So notice there was a great storm, but after this great storm, there was a great calm. There's storms, I'm sure, that you faced in your life right now. There might be storms that you're facing right now. And I don't know about those storms, but the Lord does. Fear not. Jesus said, let us pass to the other side. Whether that be a temporal deliverance now, Brother Lonnie, from here in that storm that you're currently going through, or whether it be to heaven's bright shore, there is an end to that storm. There is an end to the storm. We're going to have storms all through our lives. The storms will never end. We'll keep having them. But I want you to notice a few things. In these two verses, four of the disciples that were aboard the ship were experienced fishermen. And these four knew this sea very well. They knew the best fishing spots. They knew where to go. They were familiar with it. It was familiar ground. So in this familiar ground that they were at, this storm arose. Have you ever been in a place where you considered to be a comfortable place, but then the storm came? It's just like this. It can come unexpected. And I also want you to know that Satan does not play fair. If you look at the children of Israel, when they were traveling through the desert land, they came to a place called Rephidim. And the place of Rephidim is, by Hebrew, by translation, is place of peace. But interestingly enough, even though it was supposed to be a place of peace, it was anything but a place of peace for the children of Israel. Because when they came to the place of Rephidim, there was a great enemy that came up against Israel, and his name was Amalek. And the Amalek came in. Do you know how he attacked them? They didn't know he was coming. He came from behind, and he took the children out, and he took the elderly out. Could you imagine being a person of Israel, and you turn around and seeing the very backside of all these people, and they're being taken out by this person? They experience great storms. And you, as well, will experience great storms. This storm shook them so much. The Bible says here that the ship was now full. What that means is that it was about ready to go down. All right. The water was filling into the ship, and they became scared for their lives, so much so that these great men of faith were shaken to their core. And when they were shaken to their core, they lost sight of what Jesus said. What were the words? Let us pass to the other side. They lost sight. And so these men, they actually uttered some ungodly words to the Lord Jesus Christ. They sure did. They said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" They were talking to the Son of God. They were talking to the one who came to this world to die for them. Of course he cares. He is a comforting Savior. But yet, they were so scared in their lives, and they said, "Don't you even care?" And when, of course, when Jesus came to the woman from the city of Nain, as she was coming out, and she had already lost her husband, she had her only son who has died, Jesus cared. He went and laid his hand upon him and said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." He cared and had compassion for that woman. When the people were making fun of him, when Jairus' daughter had died and they were all making all this noise, he put them out and he came in with only Peter and John and then the parents of the girl. And he went unto them and said, "Young maiden, I say unto thee, arise." Jesus is a man of compassion. He is compassion. But yet, these men were not only shaken to their core, not only forgot the words of Jesus, but thought he didn't even care. Now, I say this to you for a reason. There might be a friend of yours, a church member, a family member, that's going through a hard storm right now. Be careful how you deal with them, because their vision can be so clouded, and the storm and the rain can be so difficult. Side thought, we watch you all on the news. We were watching the fires that took place in this area. I called Brother Joe and asked him about it when we read about them. I know that y'all probably hear about us too and hear about the big snowstorms we have and hurricanes that come up our area and tornadoes. But when we saw those fires and those homes being burnt, and our hearts ached for you and for the people of this area. No doubt there are people going through hard storms. And a lot of people lost sight. We're human. We're human. And we're going to make mistakes. We're going to fail from time to time. So these experienced fishermen, these men of God, were shaken to their core that they had forgotten all of these promises. And I'm going to tell you, that's what Satan wants. He wants you to forget. So what's important? You need to be well versed in this book. You need to know this word. Read it every day. Read it. Carrie and I have been trying very hard with our children. We're not perfect at it by no means, but we try every evening to sit down and read scripture with our children and ask them questions about it and teach them, so that when those storms come and when false doctrine comes, when things come, that they will recognize it and they will see it. Know the word of God. Stand upon the word of God, so that when those storms come, you can lean on that. You can lean on the word. You can lean on Jesus Christ. He sticketh closer to you than a brother. You can call on him at any time. I've said many times that he doesn't have any office hours. You can call on him any night. You don't have to wait for the telemarketer to put you to this person and next person and next person and the next person. He's there, always accessible. I'm so thankful that the veil of the temple has been rent in twain, and we have access to him all the time. So when we have forgotten the Lord's promises, or maybe when a friend has, be a good friend to them. Remind them. Love them. The worst thing you can do is become a legalistic type person who takes their Bible, starts thumping them on the head and said, don't you know better? Snap out of it. We want to do that sometimes, don't we? But listen, that's the worst thing you can do. Because Jesus teaches us that in this passage. We're going to look at it in just a second. I'm getting ahead of myself. Here's a scripture that come to mind that I think that all of us should be well acquainted with, and should memorize this scripture. Proverbs in chapter 3 and verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Trust in the Lord and know that he's got you. Listen, it's important to understand that the scripture teaches us that we are cast down but not destroyed. So what kind of trouble are you dealing with? I mean, are you dealing with, there's lots of trouble. There's health trouble, financial trouble, there's job trouble, family trouble, emotional trouble, physical trouble, psychological trouble, family, friends, church, national, world. We're surrounded by trouble. It's always around us, isn't it? But listen, we have one that is greater than all of these troubles, that will see us through all these things. And he made the promise, let us pass to the other side. So whatever that trouble is that you are facing right now, know that he has you in his hand, and you will make it to the other side. Okay, trust in him. Job 14 teaches us that man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. You know, we're in this world but a short time. We don't preach a health and wealth doctrine, do we? We certainly don't preach that. We know that the Lord has left among us a poor and afflicted people. We know that there are troubles on every side. We understand that. But at the same time, we understand that the Lord Jesus Christ is at the helm. I want to give you another scripture. I think that's very fitting for this, and you will find this over in the book of, when I turn to it, I'll tell you, book of, I might have lost my thought here. Let's go to Joshua. Go to Joshua chapter 3. Verse 14. This is when Israel is getting ready to pass over. And I want you to notice how the water was right here. And it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priest bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of the harvest, that the waters which came down far from above stood and rose upon an heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zaratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed right against Jericho. In this time, the water got to the place that it was overflowing. It wasn't just a little bit. So I'm going to tell you, there's going to be times in your life in which the water is going in, that things are down and they're low. And there's other times that it's going to be overflowing. It's going to be so much. It's going to be as a heap in your life. And so there's going to be times in your life that those storms are going to be very heavy. And there's going to be other times that those storms are not as heavy. And now that scripture is starting to come to my mind. All right, Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if the land of peace, wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? Yeah, I should have gotten Joshua after this one. So, you know what that's saying? That's saying that if you cannot contend with just the footmen, what are you going to do when the cavalry comes? You know, it's important to understand that through persecutions and through tribulations that we do grow. Okay? We do grow. And we have to be careful of our mindset that we're not whimpering over every single little thing that besets us. That we take it with grace and we move forward. And so if we cannot contend with the small things, what are we going to do when that big one comes? When we're standing there, Brother Lonnie, and the doctor said, you had a heart attack. You've had hard things in your life. When you get the report that you have cancer, when you have the report that a dear loved one that you love so much is terminally ill. I'm trying not to get personal here. We've had a hard time. We've been blessed at my home church at Old Carroll. We've had many to join the church in the last year. We've had a lot of baptisms. When I say a lot, we had about five or six, which is a lot for old Baptists. in the last just 3 months, we've had three of our members to pass. Two of them were mothers in their 50s. And then one that was a deacon, a sweet deacon, loved him so much, and it hurts my heart. The last one that passed away was just a few days ago, right before I left on this trip. I was with them in the hospital the night before, and they were in a storm. As a matter of fact, we do our live stream service just like you all do. And the husband of the wife, he's a dear deacon in our church, and the Dixon family, you might have even heard of them. They're members of, they have Brother Donald Dixon and Sister Linda Dixon over in Little Union Church in Lithia, Florida, where Elder Chris Cross serves. That's his parents. And anyway, they've been members, faithful members of our congregation. That morning, Brother Joe, they said, will you sing till the storm passes by? That was the song they chose. They were in a storm. They're still in the storm. But the storm will pass by. And we will make it to the other side. We will make it to the other side. So if you can't contend with the small things, how are you going to deal with the big ones when they come? So keep that in mind. Now, there's so many other thoughts that I have, but I want to be careful with time here. The water had filled the ship, and it was it was turbulent. It was bad. They had asked Jesus, they said, "Don't you care that we perish?" All right. I'm going to tell you a quick, if you don't mind me telling a little bit of a comical story. One time I was on a plane flight, and anyone who flies regularly will know that you will encounter turbulence. Turbulence is pretty normal, but if you haven't been on a plane very much and you experience that, you might think it's going down. Well, I was on a plane, and there was a woman, and she was a troublemaker. She sat next to me on the aisle on the other side, and as we were going, as we took off, we were in the air, flying back toward Baltimore. They said only the first class members can have the bathrooms at the front of the plane. Well, she decided that she was going to be a first class member whether they liked it or not. And so she got up and she bustled her way up to the front, and one of the stewardesses said, "Don't pay her no mind, just let her go. It's not worth even dealing with her." Because they were going to stop her. Well, it was obvious she was going to cause some issues. And mind you, even before that, she tried to get first class seats, and the stewardess told her, says, "Well, you need to ask every person on this plane before you get that seat." She says, "Well, nobody's sitting there." He says, "Well, you didn't pay for it either." She got into that, lavatory, shut the door. And now I've flown many times, and that's probably the worst turbulence I think I've ever experienced on a plane while she was in that lavatory. That plane, if I wasn't buckled, I guarantee you I would have come out of that seat, and if there was anything on my tray, it would have spilled. I mean, it was rough. And that plane jolted. Well, I couldn't help but chuckle inside myself thinking about that lady in that lavatory trying to hold on for dear life. Well, I apologize. That's just me being in the flesh. But I thought, part of me thought she deserved it. Anyway, I'm just being honest. Anyway, after the turbulence finally ended, another 10 minutes goes by, and she still hadn't come out of there. And about 10 minutes, that door slowly opens, and those eyes just peek out. And she looks both ways, and she quickly maneuvers her way to her seat, sits down, and buckles that seatbelt. And I'm starting to chuckle, and she looks at me. She says, "Are you laughing at me?" I said, "Yes, I am." She says, "You won't forget me, will you?" I said, "Nope." And she says, "I never prayed so hard in my life for the Lord Jesus just to stop this plane from shaking inside that thing." Anyway, my point in all of that is that she was being pretty obstinate, but then she found herself in a difficult situation. If you can't contend with the small things, how are you going to deal with the larger things when they come? Now, I want to just make one more point, and I'm going to give away. Let's go back into the main text, and I want y'all, I think this is very astounding. Sometimes if we just pay very close attention. So, notice that he arose, and verse 39, chapter 4, verse 39, he arose, and he rebuked the wind, and he said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." There's no one that can speak like the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can speak and even bring death to life. There is no power like this voice, the sound of many waters, but yet can speak in a small, still voice like he did to Elijah. What power! And they were in fearful awe of this great majesty, this king having this divine control over the elements. And all he did was speak, "Peace, be still." Sometimes we just need to be still and listen. "Peace, be still." And immediately the wind ceased and there was a great calm. They were in the midst of this turbulence, wondering if they were going to live or die. He just spoke. Became as glass. The sea, all the waves that were beating so hard against that ship ceased. And he said unto them, now I want you to notice this. He said unto them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" Now, let's stop there. Notice that he did not say that during the storm. Notice that, now if it were, I'm glad I'm not, but if I was in Jesus' shoes and they start waking me up and saying those things to me, I would say, "What in the world are you thinking? I'm on this ship. What? Why aren't you using your faith?" He calmed the storm first. After the storm was calm, then he taught them. And he said, "Why are you so fearful? You know, don't you know I'm here? I'm with you. Even in the storm, I was right here." So you need to understand that Jesus doesn't stop storms from happening in your life. He's with you in the storm. Amen. He's with you in it. He's right by your side. And he sees what you're in need of, and he gives you what you need when you're going through the storms. Listen, this isn't heaven. We're not in heaven. We're in a sin-cursed world. And there's sin in this world. And thank God there's coming a day where there's going to be no more sin. But we are in a place with tribulation, and it's going to be here until the Lord takes us home or until he returns. But I want to declare unto you that this great power that he has, that he, all he had to do was speak. And that's the same thing in your case. Peace. Be still. And he did not rebuke them until afterwards. "Why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" Now, he was not saying that they did not have the indwelling fruit of the Spirit of faith. That's not what he was saying. He was saying, "Why are you not exercising the God-given faith that is within you?" Because did you know faith can grow? It can. The Scripture teaches us it can. We exercise it. Why weren't you using it? And they feared exceedingly. They feared exceedingly. And said one to another, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" I want to leave you with one cross reference. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. The same Jesus that delivers us in our daily needs in time has delivered us from something much greater. And in closing, I want to say this. Who delivered us? Verse 10. Who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver? Not only has he delivered us from the big things, but he continues to deliver. And doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. So whatever your storm is today, trust in him. He will deliver you. May God bless you.